verse 28, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. And he says this: "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God promises rest. Amen? But to get to that rest, there are some things that we have to do. Things we have to move into and to change in our lives. Verse 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. So there's some real principles in there that we can begin to work on. First of all, do you ever feel weary and burdened down at times with situations and circumstances? Sometimes just listening to the news is enough. Glory. Stop listening to it now. It's one burden gone. Because all the pontificating, all that is going on, will not change anything. Do you know why? Because God is on the throne. God is in charge of our destiny. Look at somebody and say to them, "God is in charge of your destiny." Come on. Pruneel, God is in charge of your destiny. Amen? Do you believe that? Good. God's in charge of your destiny. It's fantastic. Amen. I thank God for that, you know, because... And so in truth, we should not really be worrying. But we do at times, don't we? We get concerned. Well, the Word of God here, Jesus saying, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Look at your neighbour and say, "Rest." Rest. Now that does not mean going to sleep. That means let your soul rest in God. Right? There's a difference between going to sleep and resting in God. Yes? And God wants you to know the difference. God wants you to experience the difference of resting in His presence and in His power. Yeah. And when you begin to rest in His presence and in His power, then you'll begin to find God moving mightily in your life. What some of our problems are that we get busy, don't we? Anybody get busy? Anybody got nothing to do? No, arms went down then. So we're all busy. The problem is, what happens to us is we get sucked into the wrong things of being busy. They all seem good and justified. We should do this and we should do that and it should be there and should be here. And should do that, and should have this, and we get busy doing and chasing all these things. But so often we get busy with the wrong things. You could use busy as an acronym, right? And we've got it up on the screen there. B. What does that stand for when you're busy? It stands for burdened. Oh dear. We so often get burdened with the things of the world around us, with the toils of things around us. We get burdened. U stands for under. We get burdened under things, don't we? We let it put pressure on our lives. We can even lose natural sleep by it, don't we? When there is something so much that is bothering us and the burden of it lays heavily upon us. S stands for Satan's. The devil will keep you busy doing the wrong things. Most of us were brought up, if not all of us, were, you need to be doing. You need to be busy. You need to be active. Don't let the grass grow underneath your feet was one of the terms where, you know, you've got to do it. And Y stands for yoke. What does it say? We can be so busy that we are burdened under Satan's yoke. And we can seem to justify it at times, because that is exactly what the devil wants you to do, is to justify why you are doing this, this and this. I know I can be guilty of that. My life is such a busy life. I know this much, by the time I get to the end of my life, I know I will have lived it more than the full. I know that. And I don't regret. But in all of the busyness, there is something that is so important that has to take place. And that is that we have to move and spend time in the presence of God. But you see, if you're not careful, the yoke of busyness that the world, that the circumstances lay upon you, can actually stop you drawing close to God. And this is why I went to this scripture where Jesus says, for you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke. You see, there's more than one yoke. There's a yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ and there's a yoke of the devil. And the yoke of the devil wants to keep you so burdened under his power, under his yoke, under his authority. And yet Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn of me. Learn more about me. Learn. How do we learn? We spend time in his presence. How did he teach the disciples? He spent time. They spent time in his presence. That was their training. They spent time every day in the presence of the Lord. And as we spend time in the presence of the Lord, we shall begin to know the power of the Lord. We shall see God moving in such a wonderful way that we've never seen before. Because it's not us that is doing the work, but it is the Spirit of God that is working through us and moving us forward. And you know, when we move in the realm of the Spirit, it is easy. It's not tiresome. I remember back many years when we were running the youth work in Bentley, and I had a fairly heavily committed job. It was on a 24-hour call at times, and I remember when it used to get to Friday evening, you know, probably the world's all ready to go out and party. Andrew was all ready to go and sit down and put his feet up. I've had a long week, sort of thing. But we're to go and do youth night. You know, youth work can go up and down like a bit like the weather at times. One minute's raining, next minute's sunshining, next minute's freezing cold, and the temperature of the youth goes up and down. And if you focus on that side, you think, oh, I think I'll give it a miss. But I didn't. I went. And you know, those were the nights when I really didn't feel like going. Those were the nights when the presence and the Spirit of God turned up in such a way that when I'd finished, I came out and I was like, wow, I didn't want to go to sleep. I was so energized. by the presence and the power of God. It quickened my tiredness. It quickened this mortal body. And so there is this, when Jesus says, enter into my rest. Yeah. What he's saying is, come in, enter in and be filled and charged and filled with my presence and my power. So as we come into the presence of God, we're coming into the rest of God. We read when, at the end of, when God had finished creating everything, what does God do? He says, he rested. Now, we should copy our Father, our Heavenly Father. He rested. Having done all of creation, he rested in the knowledge that everything was good and is very good. Amen. And if we will rest in the promises that God has given to us and realize that what he has done and is doing and going to do for us is going to be good and very good.
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has got his hand upon you? Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Do you believe that, Aaron? That God has got a plan for your life? He has a plan. We might not see it at this point in time, but God has a plan. All we got to do is get in tune with the Spirit of God, get in tune with God, get into his presence and begin to know the power of God moving in our lives. Can we trust God? Are you sure? Can we trust God? You know, sometimes you need to shout it out, say it out, so that the devil knows that you know that you know that you know. I can trust God. Yeah, but what happens if this goes wrong? I can trust God. Yeah, but what happens if this fails? I can trust God. What happens if you get sick? I can trust God. You see, each and every one of us has a destiny. Each and every one of us has a purpose for being here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that, Andrew. Yeah. Well, if you don't know, then you better find it.
Yeah.
You better talk to Father. Because every one of you is not just a mistake. But every one of you is here with a purpose in life. And that purpose is bringing glory to God. In some way, God wants to use you in a powerful way. Some might say, well, but I'm old. Some might say, I'm infirm. Some might say, I'm only young. I don't care which end of the spectrum you are at. God is ageless. And the Spirit of God that is in each and every one of us is ageless.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name.
Amen.
How old are you, Ian? Wrong answer. Ageless. I'm ageless. Anybody else? Are you ageless? You see, time is just but a number. God is not a creature of time. So our spirits carry no age upon it. Well, there you go. Sarah was pregnant at 19 and gave birth. John says, not for me. Not for me, she says.
John!
But our spirit, you see, is ageless. When God speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, it's like, boom, something happens. There's a spiritual explosion. There's an energy. That same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. If he can raise a dead body that has been in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights, that has been down to the depths of hell, and with a shout of his name from the very throne room of God, he's risen, he's ascended, and he's glorified. What can happen for you and I? Because we are the sons of God. We're not waiting for something to happen. We should be the happenings. Praise his wonderful name. We can trust God. I suppose the bigger question really is, can God trust us? Can God trust you? Are you going to stand in the midst of a storm, no matter what comes at you, and going to say, I can stand? Because he says in Ephesians, and having done everything, Ephesians 6:13, what does it say? What do you have to do when you've done everything?
Stand.
Stand. Don't be a doubter. Don't be a shirker. But the one there who says, I'm standing. In the Old Testament, talks about God's looking for a man to stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Are you going to stand? Or are you going to fall? Are you going to come under Satan's yoke and let it bring you down? Are you going to be manipulated by the way you feel because of Satan's yoke? Or are you going to stand and take the promise of my yoke is easy, my burden is light, come and rest in my presence? Are you going to take those upon you?
Yeah.
Instead of running with the Satan's crowd. Instead of being driven by Satan, because that's what he does. He drives you. He can bring sin upon you into your life that will cause you to be driven and driven, and you are driven towards destruction. The drug addict, the alcoholic, they are driven by their habits. And it drives them to a place of destruction. That's what sin does. That's what Satan's desire is. That each and every one of us is driven to a place of destruction. What is destruction? The ultimate destruction is never to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. That is the ultimate destruction that Satan has lined up for everyone that is on this earth and that is going to live and that has lived. He wants them to be separated forever from their Creator, God the Father. That's why Jesus came, because Jesus came to break the yoke, to destroy the burdens that place you under Satan's yoke. He came to break you free. But you have to choose. I have to choose. Will I take the yoke of Jesus? Oh, I don't always like what he asks me to do. No, maybe not. But I'll tell you what. You might think you like what Satan asks you to do, but after a little period of time, when you've become addicted to it, you really no longer enjoy it. It becomes a massive burden. And you become not, you don't become one who has a choice.
No.
You become a person that is a slave to sin and to death. So today, it's time to let that yoke be broken. It's time for us to be set free. It's time for us to move forward in God and to know the power and the presence of God with us. And you know, when we're going through difficult times, He said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you. Some of the time?
Always.
Always. I'm with you always. Isn't that amazing? That all the billions of people on the earth, and God is with each and every one of us as individuals. Wow. How does He do it? Has anybody got a clue? That's the word, I suppose, because He's omnipotent. He's ever present. He's everywhere. He's all knowing. And then you say, but how does He do it? Because He's God. He's God. That's how He does it. What a mighty God we serve. John chapter 16 and verse 33. John chapter 16 and verse 33 says this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Praise God. So we know for a certainty that if we are in Christ and Christ is in us, then we shall have peace. It doesn't finish there though, does it? In the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have overcome the world. Praise God. What a great sentence. What a great statement that Jesus makes. You know? He's going to give you peace. You're in the world. But take courage. I've overcome the world. We're not to be dictated by the terms and conditions of the world and of society today. We should, the church should be the dictators of the things of God to the world. You see, you and I, if we were the children of Israel all those years ago in the wilderness, how do you feed over 2 million people and give them water every day and feed their flocks and give their flocks water every day? How do you do that in a desert where there are no wells that have been dug? Or the ones that have are a long way away, and they are not equipped to feed and to water 2 million people. Sainsbury's hasn't come on the scene. Morrison hasn't yet started. I think, have they just celebrated their, how many years is Morrison's just, is it? No, it hasn't, isn't it? One of them has celebrated something like 100 years or so in business or what have you, you know, I don't know. So they certainly weren't around. And yet God provides every day, 6 days a week, double portion on the sixth day. Oh, hallelujah, what about that? You know, God can give double portions. Anybody want the double portion? I'm in for double portions. I tell you, I'm in for double portions. I don't need it in one sense, but I need it to give away. You with me? I need my double portion so I can give it away to somebody, so I can bless somebody. I don't need it for me, but I'd like it to give to somebody else. And say, look, I've got this from you, from God. It's a gift. Give them something from God. We need to stand on His promises. We need to stand on His Word. We need to use His Word and take the authority of His Word and make this Word come alive in our own personal lives.
Amen.
John's Gospel, chapter 17. It goes on to say in verse 5, Jesus said, chapter 17 and verse 5, I pray not that you should take them out of this world, but you should keep them from the evil. Sorry, that's chapter 17:15. Sorry. I don't ask that you take them out of this world, but you keep them from the evil one. You see, God wants you and I to have an effect where we live. God has placed us where we are to change the circumstances around us, to change the situation. That's why He's placed us where we are. And Jesus is praying that we should be kept from the evil one. You know, this weekend, thank God that on Saturday, Daniel and Alicia were not home. Friday, and none of the family were home. People broke into the house brandishing knives. What would it be like if they were in? Who knows? Now, you could say, well, why didn't God stop and break in? I don't know that bit, but at least they were protected. You see, God is interested in the you, not your things. Things can be replaced. God's interested in you. You are more valuable than gold. You're more valuable than silver. You are precious to God. And you see, when the enemy steals from us, then we need to go to the Word of God and say, devil, you've been caught stealing from me. I bring you before the throne of God, before the courtroom of God, and I demand that you repay me back seven times the amount that you stole from me. And I'm going to use it to build in the kingdom of God. And that will upset the devil. Verse 16 of chapter 17 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. The Lord wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be made holy. He wants us to be like Him. And the only way we can become like Him, the only way we can be cleansed and made effective, is when that Word of God resides within us. That Word of God is a power source.
Amen.
For our lives. It will destroy sickness and disease. Just a word. Remember the centurion, he said, just say it. Just say it. Just speak the word. And it'll be done. Because I know that you are a man under authority, a God authority, that carries the authority. Just say the word. Just say the word. People, brothers and sisters, say the words.
Amen.
Say the words.
Amen.
The Word of God. Let the Word of God be your authority.
Amen.
Let the Word of God be your voice. Let it speak truth. Let it speak wholeness. Let it speak deliverance to captives, setting them free. Let it bring life with an abundance, because that's what you're here for. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And you know, if we are to walk in his footsteps, then guess what? We should be going around and say, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. My God is an abundant God. Hallelujah. He doesn't shortchange. I look back at my life and I see the abundance of God and the provision of God in every situation and every circumstance. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. We'll read from verse 14. Big question really is, why are you here? I don't mean in this building. I hope I know why you're here. But why are we here? Why are we here on the earth? What is our purpose? To create global warming, as everybody seems to think? Humbug. And we'll leave it at that for now, praise God. I will say that God has supplied everything and more than enough for the needs of all mankind right through to the end date. He's not going to be caught out. He didn't create something and then it was just going to run out. He knows the beginning to the end to the beginning. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He's the first and the last. He knows it all. Do not limit God with your thinking. Do not allow the world to channel your thoughts. Let the Word of God be that which channels your thinking. When you go to university, they'll teach you things. In school, they'll have taught you things already, and when you get on a little bit further, they'll turn around and say, well, it's not quite like that, and they'll change it. I know, I've been there. I did the time. I went through the age program. The scientists come up with a theory. Remember the word. It's a theory. It is not a fact. There is a difference between a theory and a fact. And then after a while they decide to modify or change the theory. Oh, we got that wrong. So we've now come up with this. God is never wrong.
Amen. Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to change. That means we do. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without grumbling and disputings. Huh. Anybody been grumbling still this last week? Oh, glory to God. I'm sure we've all had a go at some stage. You know, the Bible says that there's no room in heaven for moaners and complainers. Right? So when you start grumbling, when you start moaning, when you start complaining, go and stand in the mirror and look at yourself and just say to yourself, there's no room in heaven for moaners and complainers. And I want to go to heaven, so I'm going to shut up and listen to the Word of God. Yeah, but. No, there's no buts. Sheep follow goats tup. They're all butting. We're supposed to be sheep of the kingdom of God. verse 15. That you may prove yourself to be blameless. Oh, there's a reason not to moan and complain. Because it is about proving yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. You are here today on the earth to be lights. That's why you're here. You're to be a light. Moaning and complaining is darkness. We're here to show God, to be the light to this world and those around us. So it's important that we are lights in this world and that we hold fast the word of life, verse 16, so that in the day of Christ I may have cause to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. There's one thing, if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, and the work that you do, the things that you do for God, the obedience that you have in following Jesus is not a waste of time. It's not vain work. You see, the vain work is that one when Satan has you burdened. Jesus said, my yoke is easy. So that which we do is not a burden to us, but we do it rejoicing, with lightness in our steps, moving forward into the things of God. And Jesus says, but even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. Amen. Even if it seems sometimes like we're just being poured out, we're giving out, we're giving out, we're giving out, we're giving out. But he says, I'm rejoicing. Amen. I'm rejoicing. Yeah. There's a stopper on us that needs to be opened up. And on the top of the stopper it says rejoice. And we need to rejoice. We need to let that come off and begin to rejoice. And as we rejoice, we shall be filled with the things of God. I rejoice and share my joy with you all. When you start to rejoice, the joy of the Lord begins to pour into your life. And as it pours into your life, you begin to touch others again, afresh and anew. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you another load to carry. Is that what it says? Come unto me, all you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, you know, if you're feeling downcast, if you're feeling under the burden of things, go to the Lord. Put your burden down at the cross. Put your burden down at His feet. Because He's going to give you rest. But you've got to come to His presence. And you know, it's good sometimes for us to come together into the presence of God. Because one encourages another and supports one another. And one, you know, one shall bring a psalm, one brings a hymn, one brings a word of exhortation and encouragement. And that's why you should come together, coming to be a light source, to begin to be a force that strengthens your brethren. You know, Peter, when he failed, appeared to have failed so dramatically. Having denied Christ three times. Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said? I know the Bible says, it says, I'm going back fishing. But what he really said was this. I'm going back to my old lifestyle. Hello? He was a fisherman. He had failed Jesus as far as he was concerned so much that he said, I am going back to my own lifestyle because God will not, Jesus will not want me anymore. And the only thing he knew was his old lifestyle. You know, when Jesus rose, he said, go, tell my disciples and Peter. He wasn't created for that lifestyle. He was created for something greater. Today, folks, you and I are created for something greater.
Amen.
In God.
Amen.
You're going to walk into your destiny. You're going to walk out of your circumstances and your situations that are holding you back, and you're going to walk into your eternal destiny in Christ Jesus, empowered and filled. But again, I come back to that one scripture, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the King. It's not a kingdom I'm looking for. I live in a kingdom. It's called the United Kingdom. I'm seeking for the King.
Amen.
Of the eternal kingdom of God. See, I don't know the Queen. I only know of her. And there are people in church life who only know of Jesus. They don't know him, because they've just sought a kingdom. They found a church, and they like the entertainment. They like what goes on. It's nice, it's comfortable, it's easy. I just come and go, and that's okay. That's just what I want. Well, let me tell you this, that is not what God wants. That is not God's calling. God is looking for men and women to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ, to take on the work of the gospel. It will be an easy one. Oh, it's tough for me. I don't know how I can do this. I'm not talented enough. He's not looking for talent. He's looking for availability. Seek ye first the King of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't get busy with the wrong things. Focus on him, the author and finisher of our faith. And as he taught us to pray, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? In earth. 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 What is Adam made of? Earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In my life. That's what it means. Thy kingdom come. In this earthly body. It's a spiritual kingdom. God is a spiritual God.
Amen.
Jesus gave up his spirituality and became a man that he might know and pay the price for each and every one of us. But on his resurrection, he became that spiritual man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Both were resident within him. He could eat. He could pass through walls. He could rise up into the presence of his heavenly Father. What is available to us today? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Let your presence, O God, be seen in the earth. Look at you. Look at somebody next to you and say to them, let the presence of God be seen in you. Let the presence of God be seen in you. Say it again. Say it with some feeling. Let the presence of God be seen in you. is God's will. That is God's desire. That His presence, His power, His anointing will be seen in you. Because He's called you to equip you to touch the lives in the nations for His praise and for His glory. Amen. The Lord bless you.